Welcome to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author Dr. John Kimball. The Minister's Friend is a podcast helping pastors and other church workers navigate the challenges of leading the flock. John has been a church planter, a local church pastor, a seminary professor, and a denominational leader. He coaches and mentors pastors and missionaries around the world. Drawing on over 30 years of experience in local, regional, and national ministry, John and some of his colleagues provide practical guidance on the topics you request. We are so glad you've joined us. And now, here's our host, Pastor John.
Thanks, Anna, and welcome everyone to this week's episode of the Minister's Friend podcast. I remember reading a statistic years ago that as many as 95% of Christians in North America have never actually shared their faith with anyone. As a pastor and a denominational leader, I expect that's pretty accurate. And when it comes to intentionally investing in others so that they grow to maturity in Christ, I would expect most of those same Christians would say they don't do that either. The reality is that evangelism and disciple-making are just not prioritized and practiced in the United States as they should be. I'm not trying to bring fault, but I am trying to raise an alarm. As I talk with pastors and church leaders around the country, they keep saying the same thing. People just don't know how to disciple others. And many of those church leaders find themselves at a loss as well. I would say the American church needs two things: simple tools to use in the disciple-making process, and consistent mentoring on how to grow as disciple-makers. And that's the topic of this week's episode, as I continue my interview with Stephen Barr, the executive director and pastor of Cast Member Church at Walt Disney World here in Orlando. We want people to remain engaged with their own family, their own friends, their neighbors, and their co-workers in order for them to have their greatest impact for Jesus' kingdom. To do that, we need to better equip them for the mission. And we also need to help them understand what to do with failure when it happens, because failure is absolutely normal. Let's pick up our conversation right there. Pull up a chair and get a Mickey Mouse pretzel as we head back to Disney Springs. So as you're walking with them, you talk about this one cast member that said, well, what is my life going to look like now? Obviously, there are failures that happen along the way. So how, because that's a big, I think, a fear for a lot of churches. What happens when failure takes place? How does Cast Member Church, how do you as a as a disciple maker, how do you help them deal with failure? Because failure's normal.
Exactly. We do things a little differently here. And when I talk about failure, let me separate a couple things. There's failure that's sin related. Mm-hmm. And then there's just failure of having done things wrong.
Yeah.
The second, the latter, the failure of just not having done it right, we celebrate that. We celebrate failure because you tried. You gave it, you know, I had a conversation with somebody today earlier just in this location about, they were asking about engaging with cast members, and they're like, oh, we're not sure we did it right and all that. It's like, what do you mean? You actually had a conversation, and we celebrate that. Yeah. That's how you learn.
Yeah.
You learn more from failure than you do from victory. So we celebrate that, and we want people to keep moving forward in spite of failure.
Yes.
Now, if we're talking about sin, that's different. However, we have four motives. Other churches would call them values, but we have four motives: always love, always truth, always mercy, always grace. And that's how we deal with it. So it's we have a very gentle process of helping people, you know, when they stumble. We have people that it's, you know, two steps forward, three steps backwards.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, but that's the discipling journey.
Yes,
it really is. And so we're patient. We expect it to be messy. We expect it to be horribly inconvenient. We expect it to be littered with potholes where people have stumbled.
Yeah.
But if I look back on my own journey, John.
Or mine.
Yeah, let's just not. We won't go there. Remember, always love, always truth, always mercy, always grace.
Yeah.
But it actually is when they do fail, there's a safety that says, it's okay, let's figure out how to correct this and go at it again. We say that every day is a do-over. And so that's, if we can speak that into the people that we serve, even when they fail, it's like, hey, You know, that's what the love of Jesus does, is he gives you a do-over every day.
I think one of the things that I run into so much with the churches that I work with is that there's this fear of judgment. and what I, you know, so when I'm maybe the pastor in my pastoral role, what I tell people is, judge is not in my job description.
Nope.
There's only one judge. And we will all stand before that one judge. So my job is to help you work through what happened, and let's honor the judge, and let's fix this thing. You know, but there's this, I think, and of course, I don't even want to get off on American politics and all of that, but there is this view, prevailing view, that the church is going to nail people.
Mm. Yeah, and, well, that's what, truth be told, that's what cast members expect.
Yeah.
And when I say cast members, these are the people. This is our world.
Right.
But it's
true with the people we're trying to reach as well.
Yeah, and the thing for us, interestingly enough, are Disney is almost like a photograph of what the world's going to look like in 10 years. Disney's about 10 years ahead of normal culture. So we live in the LGBT culture. We're completely surrounded by that. And so I get all kinds of questions. Well, how do you deal with, you know, what do you deal with someone in this kind of thing? And it's like, always love, always truth, always mercy, always grace. Yeah, yeah, I know. But what about if it was in this? Well, always love, always truth. And actually, someone brought up just a couple months ago, well, sometimes don't you have to sacrifice a little love and focus on truth? And I'm like, Jesus was love, is love. Jesus is truth. He's mercy and he's grace. He can't split himself up. He's that one thing. And so we are able to operate in that kind of a context. We know what Scripture says. We know what God says about all these different things. But we're called to be love and light. And for me, I'll give you a little tiny 30-second micro sermon on how I deal with these things. When we talk about the LGBT community, for example, because I know that's a common question we get. Look at the Jesus and the woman caught in adultery. This is Jesus and sin, face to face. I mean, did she sin? Oh, yeah, caught in the act of adultery. Here she is in her sin facing Jesus. And he does three things. The first thing he does is he deals with the sins of the accusers.
Yeah.
Second thing he does is he forgives her. And the third thing he does is tells her to go and sin no more. Interestingly, how the church today now does it backwards. That is, stop sinning. We'll forgive you, and then we'll deal with your accusers.
Wow.
I know. And so, but hey, I learned that. That's not a split-second learning thing. It took me years to actually learn that. But that's...
Wow, that's a good word for all of us, Stephen.
Yeah, good reminder for me, too. So,
Amen. So, when it comes to... And you may want to jump into some of the stuff in the book at this point. It's up to you. But when it comes to helping people who have inherited a system that does not disciple, we'll just put it that way, how do you help them understand just even the basics, the rudimentaries of making disciples?
Well, the first thing I really want to point out is that Jesus would not call you to make disciples and then make it so complicated that you couldn't do it. It's said that disciple making is simple. It's just hard. And you know what? We want simple and easy. I mean, that's just human nature. What I see is disciple making is a growth process. Not just becoming a disciple, but becoming a disciple maker is a growth process. So in our case, we here at Castmember Church, we design tools that help create a framework in a person's mind. So when they're sitting down and they're talking to someone, they have this almost like a little dashboard in their head that they're pondering. It's almost like having one ear on the conversation and one ear on the Lord.
Cool.
And so it's called the Quest Compass, and that's what I wrote this book about. And it really is the way we bring people into a discipling relationship. The Quest Compass can be learned in about 30 minutes, and you can apply it for a lifetime, to your own life and to other people's lives. I did not design it really for the purpose of sharing it with a bunch of people. It just happened to work at Disney, and little did I know, people's pastors were saying, well, tell me about this tool. Yeah, and I told them, like, oh, we need this at our church. And I didn't.
Guilty as charged.
Exactly.
By the way.
And so it was one of those things where I did not sit down to write a book. I did not sit down to create a tool for the church. I was trying to solve a problem in our church. Mm-hmm. Little did I know that the Lord, in His grace, gave us something that we could share and bless other people with. But it's amazing. It's taken on a life of its own. I mean, I'm hearing stories that's just amazing. I hear stories from this is funny. I hear stories from former cast members who are using the Quest Compass with other people, and neither one of them are believers.
Wow.
Yeah, we've got cast members discipling other cast members that just haven't quite made the connection yet.
Wow.
But I mean, you know, of course, I will help every way I can to make those connections. But something's happening. It's taking on a life of its own. And I know that's the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. But I never intended that from the beginning. It was just I sat down at a table and I love the yellow legal pad, which I think is one of God's greatest gifts to creation. I always have a yellow legal pad right here, by my chair. Yeah. And I'm always drawing. I'm a visual processor. Mm-hmm. Disney cast members are very artistic. They're very visual as well. Mm-hmm. So I started drawing these little tools, and little did I know that the Lord was in them and He was working. And we found that there was a pattern at work. And so, the idea is to move a person from total fear. I get that, total fear. Showing them, it's like, well, can you do this? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I can do that. Congratulations. That's the first step of disciple making. I think that... so often, I think many people perceive disciple making as the pastor's job.
Yeah.
That's the pastor's job. If I just bring people to church, that's my job, and that's the pastor's job. When actually, of course, you and I know our job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry.
Absolutely.
So if we can show them that, look, we're not asking you to do the pastor's job. You know, we have our job, but you're going to be able to influence people we'll never be able to reach. Mm-hmm. I use the example of if you have a guy named Al who is into automobiles. And Al hangs out with people who are car people. Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to be a lot easier to equip Al to be a kingdom influence with these car people than try to get Al to invite all those car people into church.
Yeah.
So now, if Al knows how to disciple through his own unique giftings and all, but with the principles that Jesus gave us, if we can model that for him and let him do that, our church expands.
Yeah.
Even though they may never come in through our doors, the kingdom has expanded, and that's what we're all about.
If we can equip people to disciple others through their own unique giftings and with the principles Jesus gave us, if we model this for them and let them do that, the church expands. Stephen's right. I've seen it in so many churches who take these steps seriously. Disciple-making is not rocket science, but it does need leadership. It needs training and tools. But if we make disciples who make disciples, it becomes more natural with every spiritual generation. I also love how Cast Member Church addresses failure, discerning whether it's a tactical failure or a sin failure. They celebrate the first, and they approach the latter with their fourfold strategy. Always love, always truth, always mercy, always grace. Walking this out is countercultural, to be sure, even in most churches today. But it does allow pastors, mentors, and disciplers to have a difficult conversation where repentance and fruit can actually abound. Disciple-making is a principle-based process for both those who are growing into disciple-makers and those who are being discipled. With good tools, like the Quest Compass, we can equip our folks to be fruitful producers in Jesus' kingdom. When we help people to be intentionally and effectively making disciples in their own spheres of influence, His kingdom expands. If you'd like to know more about the Quest Compass, check out Stephen's book, A Guide to a Life Beyond Imagination. It's listed in today's show notes. Next time, Stephen will tell us a little bit more about the Quest Compass, and he'll also talk a bit about the microchurch framework of Cast Member Church. It's fascinating. Don't miss it. Is the Minister's Friend podcast a blessing to you? Would you please subscribe on whatever platform you listen and leave us a review? We appreciate your help. And please also be sure to tell your friends, your pastors, church leaders that you know about the podcast. Your recommendation to others is the only way we can grow our audience. And please check out the special podcast message that follows today's episode. I've got some exciting news about how we're expanding the Minister's Friend Ministry. It starts right as our theme music ends. I hope today's episode was helpful. Please check out the show notes for additional information and suggested resources. And thank you so much for joining us here on the Minister's Friend Podcast. Let's do this again real soon.
You've been listening to the Minister's Friend Podcast with pastor and author John Kimball. Be sure to check out today's show notes for additional tools, resources, and information. If today's episode has been helpful to you, let us know. You can shoot us an email at podcast@johnrkimball.com. That's podcast@johnrkimball.com. You can also leave a note on our Facebook page. These are also the best ways to suggest topics for future shows. We want to hear from you. And please tell your friends about us. Until next time, may God bless you and your ministry with great fruit for His kingdom. Bye!
Hi, this is Pastor John. Let me begin by thanking all of you for making the Minister's Friend what it is today. We keep growing, and it's because you're telling your friends, your pastors, and other church leaders about us. You have no idea how much you are blessing us as you do that. Because we're growing, there are aspects of our podcast that we have to expand, and that means added cost. But I never want to make the Minister's Friend a paid resource. I want our 15-minute podcast to remain freely available to those who need it. At the same time, some of you have been asking for more. More depth, more resources, and more from my friends and I. So to address that desire, and also to meet our expansion needs, I've decided to add some paid features to our ministry. These will begin in September, so you've got some time to think about which level will be most helpful to you. Of course, the Minister's Friend podcast will continue to come out weekly for free. We still ask you to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, but it won't cost you a dime. Beyond that, there will now be three additional levels. The first level, what we're calling the Narthex, at $2 per month, which is paid $24 annually, gives you exclusive access to occasional special emails, articles, and audio content that I produce just for my audience throughout the year. Level 2, or what we're calling the Nave, is $5 per month, paid $60 annually. It gives you exclusive access to the special emails, articles, and audio content. Plus, you'll have free access to some of the ministry webinars I teach throughout the year. You'll also get a signed copy of my latest book, Disciple Making, Helping Local Churches Understand What Disciples Are and How to Make Them, published by Next Step Resources. Finally, the third level, what we're calling the chancel, is $10 per month, paid $120 annually. It gives you the special emails and articles, the signed copy of my book, access to the webinars and occasional audio content, and two free one-on-one 30-minute ministry coaching sessions with me over a calendar year. And depending on your need, I may invite one of my colleagues to join us. This level is, of course, the greatest value. So there you go. The Minister's Friend podcast will continue as usual, but now you have three different ways to get more, and each of these helps us with the costs of our expanding ministry. It's a win-win. I'd love to hear from you. Got an idea for a future podcast topic? Is there a particular church issue that you'd like us to tackle? Shoot me an email at podcast@johnrkimball.com, and I look forward to connecting with you again real soon.